about reaching out to Jehovah's Witnesses. I've been doing an outreach to Jehovah's Witnesses for just over a year. God put it on my heart to start making videos to help people who are in the Witnesses and also people who are leaving to understand about the Bible and what the Bible does teach and who God is. So today I'm going to be giving you an insight into what it's like to be one of Jehovah's Witnesses. I was a Jehovah's Witness from being age 12 to about age 27. So I'll be talking about that a little bit. I'll touch on some things as well that they won't tell you when they come to your door. And also how we can help Jehovah's Witnesses when they do come and speak to us. So some of you all know Jehovah's Witnesses. You might have friends, even people at work. You might have family members even who are witnesses. How many people here have actually had a conversation with them? A lot. Yeah. So it's really relevant for us all to know more about them so we can help. So I've got a video clip that I just wanted you to see. That's an example of what not to do. Okay. So is this still on? It's not, yeah. Why should we help Jehovah's Witnesses? I mean, they're nice people. They're a harmless group. Christians, right? Well, there are some good things about Jehovah's Witnesses. For instance, they're very zealous in their preaching. They take it very seriously, Jesus' command to go and make disciples. And we can learn from that, really. They do spend a lot of time preaching. And they've got a very close-knit community. They're all doing a lot for each other. And they have high moral standards as well. But there are some serious problems with the group and its beliefs. So, yeah, the next slide. The group was formed in the USA by a man called Charles Taze Russell. There's a picture of him there. And that was in the 1870s. And now they've grown to have about 8 million members around the world. And they're all governed by 7 men. So they're run by about 7 men, a number of 7 men, who are the governing body. Right. And they lead up the Watchtower Corporation, so you'll have heard of the Watchtower magazine. That's like the corporation behind the religion. So rather than bore you with going through all the beliefs, you know, lots and lots of beliefs, I thought I'd show you another video clip. Hopefully this one will work. It's one that I found that outlines top 10 Jehovah's Witness beliefs, and it's only short, so it'll just run through the main things that they all believe. And it just sort of, this video just scratches the surface, really, so, you know, on the belief, so.
Is, and Satan was cast down from the heavens to earth in 1914, and as evidence of that, World War I and other calamities in 1914 are cited. Shocking belief number 4. Jesus was Michael. They believe that Jesus was Michael, the archangel, before he came to earth. And then Jesus became man, and that Jesus is Son of God. Number 5. That there are two classes of Christians. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that there are two classes. The anointed class, which is made up of 144,000 people, they will go to heaven. And the great crowd, the rest of humanity, or the rest of the Jehovah's Witnesses, will live here on earth forever in an earthly paradise. Belief number 6, blood. They don't believe in blood transfusions, even if death is imminent, based on Leviticus 17:14. Belief number 7, salvation. They believe that only Jehovah's Witnesses are truly saved. And if you don't belong to the truth, to their organization, then you're lost. Belief number 8, shocking but true. They believe that the government, regardless of country, are tools of Satan. And therefore, they don't vote, they don't sing the national anthem, and they don't pledge their allegiance to the flag. Shocking belief number 9. The cross. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus did not die on a cross, but on an upright stake. Last but not least, belief number 10, holidays. Many of us know this. They believe that observing holidays like birthdays and other man-made holidays are not from God and therefore pagan, and therefore they don't celebrate those holidays. These are the top 10 Jehovah's Witnesses beliefs.
Right, so that was a summary. What that video didn't mention is also that they make the name Jehovah extremely important, because they're basing that on the name of God found in the Old Testament. You know, there's four letters, YHWH, and people say that as Yahweh or Yehoah. And in fact, the name Jehovah, as it is now, was first penned by a Catholic monk in the 13th century called Raimundus Martini. So by putting the name Jehovah as the most important, they are ignoring Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, which says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So Jesus is the name above all names, and they demote him to being just an angel called Michael. But in John chapter 5:23, it says we must honour the Son just as we honour the Father. And if we don't have the Son, we don't have the Father either. So the other error they make is that there are two separate groups of Christians, which it mentioned. 144,000 going to heaven and everybody else on the earth. And that means that everybody on the earth is not part of the new covenant. They can't take communion and they're not born again, which is in opposition to John chapter 3, verse 3, which says, "Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God." And also in John chapter 6, verse 53, it says, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." So I'll say that Jehovah's Witnesses actually, in my opinion, are a cult, and they fit what's called the BITE model of cults, which is on the next slide, which means BITE, it stands for behaviour control, information control, thought control and emotional control. So I'm going to just talk about my experience a bit and sort of relate it to these, if you know what I mean. So it starts with thought control, because when I was 12 years old, I had a Bible study with the Witnesses, and none of my family were witnesses at that point, except for my uncle. And what happens when you have a Bible study is it's not actually a Bible study. It's a study of a Watchtower book. And then you study this Watchtower book and look up selected scriptures. And the way that it's designed is you go over the material over and over. And in fact, in the Bible study, you'll be going over that four times at least, for every paragraph. And you're hearing that information all the time, so it convinces you that the things are true. You're told not to think independently, and you cannot understand the Bible without them. So basically, you have to study their Watchtower publications to be able to understand. Now, next after that comes the behaviour control, because what happened to me is, once I was convinced, I started thinking, right, I'll attend all the meetings, started feeling as though I had to follow their rules, the things that they wanted me to do. So that included three meetings a week, preparation for those meetings, going knocking on doors, doing talks and other, reading all the stuff that they gave me. And basically every month I had to fill in a slip of paper, and this slip of paper I had to hand in to the elders in the congregation, and I wrote on it how many hours preaching I'd done, how many books I'd placed, how many people I'd gone back to speak to. So they note everything down. If you talk to them at your door, you're on that piece of paper at the end of the month. And if I didn't do that, the elders would come and talk to me, and they would be like, you know, why are you spiritually weak if you don't do enough hours knocking on doors? I was told even from age 12, I was at high school at that point, not to have friends who were not Jehovah's Witnesses. So that comes into the behaviour control and also information, because you're restricted, therefore, on who you can be friends with and who you can speak to. Like, I did say this before, but we were told, don't speak to Eric White, because he was well known to speak to witnesses and help them see the truth from the Bible. So I would remember that. I actually remember people saying, don't speak to, if you ever speak to this man called Eric White, just walk away. Yeah. So it's information control. I couldn't read what I wanted to read. I was controlled with that. I couldn't watch on TV what I wanted to watch. And when I got to being a bit older, I was discouraged from having a higher education. They actually said to me, this book, one of the books, you know, Watchtower book, this is an A-level. You don't need to go and get A-levels. And knocking on doors is the best use of your time. You don't get a career. You work for the kingdom, or you work for the, you know, the organisation, which really is them, the watchtower. So the emotional control comes in because you are constantly under a kind of feeling of, I must do more, I must do more. I never knew that I was safe with God. When Armageddon came, I could die. Even as a witness, even knocking on doors all the time, I could. He could still choose to destroy me. And that was a lot of fear. And it's like everybody outside is under the control of the devil and we're all safe in the organisation. And if you don't agree, or if you do a sin, you can get disfellowshipped, which means that all your friends and all of your family, in bearing in mind you've no friends outside, because you've been taught not to have friends outside, your friends and your family who are Jehovah's Witnesses will not speak one word to you. You will be treated as though you were dead. And I know people who are being treated that way now, who've not spoken to their sons and daughters. They've not even seen their own grandchildren because they've been disfellowshipped. So I wanted to just show you a video, which is an official one. It's an official Watchtower produced video that they showed everybody in 2016. And it's a girl who's been disfellowshipped, and it shows her trying to contact her mum and dad. So I just wanted to show you that. Yeah, so the audience clapping at the end was because it was at a big convention. Everyone was clapping for that video, and they were praising those parents for not picking up the phone to their child who'd called them. And that girl could have been in the hospital. She could have been anywhere, really, couldn't she? And the mother saw that it was the daughter and just put the phone back down. So can you get disfellowshipped for... It has to be something really bad, doesn't it, surely? Well, actually, you can get disfellowshipped just for celebrating Christmas, or your own birthday, or disagreeing with them. If you disagree with them openly, you straight out say, no, you're not teaching the truth, well, that you can get disfellowship for that. And you can get disfellowship for talking to someone who's disfellowshipped as well. A quote I've got here from a Jehovah's Witness who's still going. She's still going to the hall. She says, I've woken up, so now I realise I've just wasted 25 years of my life. And secondly, that I've just gone through 25 years of hell for nothing. I'm almost lame with the pain and hurt and frustration of this realisation. And when I'm stronger, I need to somehow plan how I'm going to get out of it. So she's frightened of being disfellowshipped and saying anything because she'll not be able to see her family and that. And I was like that. When I realised it was not the truth, I was very scared. And I did, even though I didn't get disfellowshipped, amazingly enough, I did get shunned anyway. So people stopped speaking to me. They'd cross the road in the street when they saw me. And I felt like I'd wasted my life. All my teens and all my early 20s. And I gave up all my dreams of wanting to be a teacher and everything because I couldn't get a higher education. I wasn't allowed. So this is why we need to protect ourselves and those we know. And we need to be able to recognise a false group. It's not just Jehovah's Witnesses who are teaching false things. It's other groups as well. So just a quick rundown, and I know I'm running out of time a bit, but I'm going to talk about some scripture, and it'll come together in a minute. It might seem, why is she talking about this? But in Hebrews chapter 8, 9 and 10, we're told about an arrangement in the Old Testament, and it'll come together in a minute. In the Jewish temple, there was the Holy of Holies, and there was the most holy place, and it was separated by a thick curtain. And that thick curtain represented the divide between God and man. And God's presence was in the most holy of holies, and this divide was there because sinful men could not come before a holy God. And every year the high priest went in just once a year, and he sprinkled blood on the mercy seat for the forgiveness of sins. And like I say, that was just once a year. And that system was based on works, meaning you have to do these things to get forgiveness of sins. But in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, we're told that at the moment of Jesus' death, the curtain was torn from top to bottom, an act of God because it was 60 feet tall. So no human could have done this. And it meant that the divide had gone between man and God, that because of Jesus... his death, once for all time, he paid that price and he took that divide away between us and God. And no works were required anymore for salvation, just like Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we're saved by faith and not by works. And in John chapter 6, verse 29, it says that this is the work of God, that you believe in the one that he has sent. And we can approach God directly with Jesus as our mediator, like it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. So false religions, false groups, put the curtain back. They put them between you and God. They put something else between you and God. They say you've got to be part of our group to get saved. And you have to do these things we tell you to get saved. And basically they put you back into the old arrangement of works-based salvation. And they don't let you have your salvation just in Jesus Christ. And Jehovah's Witnesses say that they're only following God, but they're really following the organisation run by the seven men in the governing body. There's the governing body. They said in November 2013, in a watchtower, all of us must be ready to obey any instructions we may receive, whether these appear sound from a strategic or human standpoint or not. So they're asking for blind obedience, even if it doesn't sound right. You just got to obey them. So we should help Jehovah's Witnesses to see who Jesus is, who he really is, and what he really did for them, that they can have freedom in Christ Jesus, Christian freedom. Jesus is the truth, not their organisation. They can be set free from the slavery of all the works that they're being expected to do. If they leave and we help them leave, their families can be restored. They can talk to the people who they couldn't speak to before. And they can, you know, families can come back together and they can realise that God loves them just as they are today, right now. So how do we help them? Pray first. Nothing is going to change with Jehovah's Witnesses without God intervening. We can talk to them all day, every day. And believe me, I've talked to a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses now. But if God's not involved and he doesn't intervene, then nothing's going to change. So pray first and pray for ourselves as well when we're approaching them. Be kind with them. A number of times I had doors slammed in my face and people being aggressive to me. And they're used to that. So be kind and gentle and share your own Christian testimony with them, because they can't argue with that. You might have noticed when you spoke to them, they'll be all over the place with scriptures and sometimes tie you up in knots. But if you tell them your testimony, then they're just listening to you saying how much Jesus has changed you and how much you love him and what your relationship is with him. And be careful, because I know some people might speak with Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, with good intent, and then they get all confused. And if you feel that you're feeling upset in the discussion or they're confusing you and everything, it's fine to just end it. You might have planted a seed, so just finish at that point. But Christians can, people who feel confident and who feel like they want to sort of reach out and help, can learn lots and lots of ways to speak to them. That's the purpose of a lot of the videos I've produced, is so that Christians too can watch these videos and learn all the scriptural arguments that show the witnesses' doctrines are not correct. Like, I didn't come up with all this stuff, by the way. I mithered Eric and other people for a long time, looking at them. and other people have helped me to understand these things, and that's why I'm putting that out there for others. So here's one little way you can speak with them, just as a quick thing. I thought I'd throw this in. You can say to them, right, okay, I've heard that you can't take communion. Why is that? And they will go into then, well, actually, there's this 144,000 who go to heaven and we're all on the earth. And you could then say, well, does that mean there's two different hopes for Christians, a heavenly hope and an earthly hope? And they'll agree with that, because that's how they term it. Heavenly hope and an earthly hope. And it's really easy, this. You can just take them then to Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 4 to 6 it reads, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Then you can ask them, how many hopes does that scripture describe? We're all one flock under one shepherd, Jesus. So it really is an easy one to show, actually, this idea of two separate groups of Christians. So this outreach on YouTube and the website that I've done, God has blessed it, I believe. It's been just over a year, and that's the web address up there. As of today, it's reached 95,000 people in over 200 countries. And the language barrier is a bit of a thing, so people have approached me now to translate the videos into different languages. Just this week, somebody asked me to translate them into Croatian. And other channels as well have been sharing them, so I've allowed that because I want just as many people as possible to be reached with it. So I estimate there's probably another 15,000 been reached that way as well. And last week or so, I did a radio interview for about an hour about my entire experience, and that was for a group called Cults Investigated. So that was great. I put that on there as well. So if you're interested, you can listen to that as well. So I'm going to finish with a few comments that I've received. I get messages daily. Sometimes they're abusive. I've been called all kinds of names, but sometimes they're great as well. So I'll just read some of the things that God has done. Kimberly, she lives in California. She said, "My mother and stepdad just told me days ago that after 22 years of being a Jehovah's Witness, they realised they were in a cult. Praise God. Your videos actually helped my mother to wake up and come out of it. Thank you for taking the time to help me, and thank you for putting these videos on YouTube and helping people like my mum understand what's really going on." Ed, who lives in Canada, he said, "I'm happy to find your channel. Thank you, dear sister. For those of us discovering a new relationship with our Lord after leaving the organisation, it is edifying. Thank you." Erin says, "After watching the videos, I stopped attending Jehovah's Witnesses in January of this year. Thank you for the information." And this one, Jeff. Jeff is still attending the Witnesses meetings. And he said, "Hello, my name is Jeff. I grew up Jehovah's Witness and I've gone to the memorial. And I agree with you that we should take the bread and wine. That's why we do it at home." So he's secretly taking communion at home. And it makes me emotional, that, because I just pray that he gets fully free and that one day he can take the communion with his brothers and sisters, and we are blessed that we can. So please pray for the outreach, and also watch the videos and share them, of course, if you know anybody who can benefit. And I'm planning on running possibly a workshop where, if anyone's interested in learning more about how to speak with witnesses, we can just all get together and look at the scriptures and do that. So thank you very much.